All right. Welcome in to Toilets to Titles, episode number 30, week number 12 of the NFL season. We are three quarters of the way done, and it feels like just yesterday it was just starting. Or just yesterday we were afraid it was never going to start. Now, not only has it started, it's came, and now it's almost gone. So we need to enjoy these next few weeks. Here to enjoy the episode with me this evening are my co-hosts. First, to my right, if you're watching via YouTube, it's my man Justin Stevens at @JustinFF_Justin. What's cooking?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. It's been a pretty rough week though, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up and all that. And unfortunately, I had a doctor's appointment today, and I hate to say, the doctor told me I have to cut back to like one beer a night. And I'll tell you, guys, I don't know how I'm going to cope with this. I don't know.
Dang.
But if you guys have any suggestions, let me know if there's any helplines that I can cope a little easier.
You're going to need things for like tennis elbow, because you're going to have a little bit of sore arm from picking that thing up every night, you know?
Hey, it's one beer a night.
If you're watching, then you know what Justin just picked up, a mug, like a pitcher. That's his one beer. And then also, if you're listening, you heard our other co-host below me on the YouTube video is Nate at @Nate_Dirt19. Nate, how's it going, bud?
Going good. You know, I ended up taking tomorrow off. So I got a nice longer weekend than normal. So it's nice. I'm looking forward to the holidays. Hopefully, everybody's enjoying them and being safe. I mean, we're not really doing things like we usually do, but, you know, go see mom and dad. And I mean, I see them all the time, but you know, go see my sister and stuff like that. So it'll be fun.
Right on, man. Right on. And this is the first Thanksgiving for Finn. So what are you guys planning on feeding him, man?
Well, you know, unfortunately, he can't really eat anything besides, you know, like milk, you know, so we'll see what Rachel eats. I guess it's up to her what she's feeding him. So,
right. All right. So this will be his first Thanksgiving, but not his first Thanksgiving where he's enjoying human food.
Yeah.
Right on. Right on. All right. Well, this is the hard hitting stuff right here. Guys, if you want to listen to us weekly, you do know that you could find us on Apple Podcasts, on Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, or our YouTube channel. Wherever you're listening to us or however you're listening to us, it would be greatly appreciated if you go to our YouTube channel, which would be in the Podbean links or the Apple Podcast link, or at our Twitter handle, which is @ToiletsToTitles. You could find the YouTube link there. Hit the like button on the episode that you're watching. Hit the subscribe button. Leave a comment. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. All of that stuff will definitely help us, help get the word out about our show. You know, if you leave us a 5-star review, it helps the algorithm, and it, I guess, it puts us to the top or closer to the top when people are searching fantasy football podcasts. And we would greatly appreciate that. It is the season of giving. So if you could give a 5-star review, that'd be greatly appreciated. Now, on the other end, we are doing some giving as well. We have a giveaway we've been doing this season for Fantasy Cares, rather a donation. For every 50 followers, we'll be donating $10 to a charity of our choosing, and we chose the Tim Tebow Foundation. We just hit 100. We're at a total of $100. We've hit 50 followers 10 times since we started this. We're at like 692, so 689 was the number we needed to hit. So 739 will put us above 100. It'll put us at 110, and we will continue to go. And when the season's over, at that number, then we will be making the donation. So we help. We appreciate you guys helping us help somebody. And we're doing some more giving. Justin, why don't you talk about the giveaway that we're doing?
Oh, yeah. So the Gardner Minshew giveaway. We're going to be wrapping this thing up pretty soon. The Gardner Minshew giveaway lost a little bit of flair when Lutton had a somewhat reasonable game. But I have a feeling that after last week's game, Lutton brought that value back up, because I don't think Minshew will have any trouble getting his starting position back. There's not going to be any quarterback controversy in Jacksonville this year. So, but Gardner, we have an autographed Gardner Minshew football card that we will be giving away. All you have to do is like and retweet the the tweet that we send out. We'll resend it out again after tonight's episode. Tag three people in it, and if those three people all share it or retweet it as well, then you'll get a second entry. Also, if you send us a DM that shows that you are a subscriber to our YouTube channel, then we will give you two more entries for that. I would venture to say that we're probably going to do the drawing for that within the next week or two so that we can move forward and look forward to the playoffs and have one less thing on our table here. So we'd really like to give this away. Help us get our name out and try to win it for us.
Yes, and we will be doing more of these. I have tons of autographed cards. And I will be doing more giveaways. So the more, I guess, hits we get on this thing will make me more inclined to give away some of the bigger ones I have. So we'll see. We'll see how this one goes. I know we have some things also going on in the background of the Toilets to Titles madness that we have. We have some things that are cooking up. I don't know. I can't really say too much. But, Justin, if you want to just kind of tease it a little bit, go ahead walk the line a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to lay out a teaser without just blatantly saying what we got going on. So I'm going to do my best because we still haven't worked out exact details with the other parties involved, but there is potential for a nice little merger that is most likely going to happen, and maybe an upgrade in the digs that you'll see here on the screen, and better quality to our videos. For those of you that can't watch live or don't like to watch live, and you go back and watch it later, you're going to hopefully have some better editing quality. So we're really looking forward to it. It's a lot of big changes all at once, though, so we're not going to get too deep into it tonight. But hopefully by next week we'll have some more finalization for you guys.
Yeah, and it won't be like changes. Yes, there'll be changes, but we'll still be us. And we'll be still be doing our thing, and the episodes won't change. Nothing will change. They'll just be things will change, but we won't, and the show won't change. So don't worry about that.
Unless you viewers have something, a suggestion for us that you'd like to see. I mean, we might be able to change something up for you.
Yeah, there you go. That is true. That's true. All right, we got some injury news for week 11. Joe Burrow went down, his entire knee exploded. I don't know who wrote that in the show notes, but I really appreciate that, Justin. Good work. His ace. Well,
I didn't mean it as something funny to giggle about. Like it was.
It hurt. It hurt, man.
God, I felt bad for the guy.
How did they not think that was going to happen? I mean, like he's been getting killed all season. They throw the ball more than anybody. He's leading the league in attempts. You know, with a terrible line. Are they trying to do that? I don't know.
They're trying to sell jerseys. They're trying to sell jerseys while also tanking. That's what they're trying to do. And now, you know, I heard Booger McFarland say that he not only should he sit, you know, he should sit for 2 years and then come back in 2022. So
I don't think they'll have too many Ryan Finley jerseys, though.
Yeah, no, they won't be. He looked terrible. He looked terrible. And I'm not picking him up anywhere. I am not, especially in Superflex leagues where I'm desperate. I'm not that desperate. I'm not desperate enough to play Ryan.
I'm starting just Alex Smith in a Superflex league and not even going to put a claim in for Ryan Finley. I'm fine with that.
Man. I'm worried about T. Higgins.
Yeah. Yeah. Boyd did. I think Boyd had, you know, decent outings with Finley last year. So I think Boyd will be okay, but I'm definitely worried about the rest of that offense. I'm also worried about Burrow with that. You know, I wonder if this is going to be a Jalen Smith situation, you know, with all the stuff that – sorry, go ahead.
I heard somewhere today that they thought that injury was, like, kind of similar to Carson Wentz. Was that 2 years ago or whatever, when he tore his knee up really bad? And I think that was, like, a little later in the year, sometime early December when he did that. And I believe he missed the first 2 weeks of the following season. So, like I said, they don't really know anything yet, but that's just
they rushed him back.
They did. You know, but sure. if it is similar to that, then that's maybe a timetable. But who knows what they're going to do?
They're also not a contender. So the Eagles were at the time. You know, so I don't think they will have. I don't think they should rush Burrow back at all. You know. But we'll see. But now also Kyler Murray sprained AC joint. He's going to play week 12. So that makes me a little nervous. But the kid's been great. So you play him, you know, as long as they keep him, you know, on his feet. They keep him off the ground. You play him. Rex Burkhead, he has likely a season-ending ACL injury. James White and Damian Harris look to get the bulk of his opportunity shares. James White, I don't know if you guys watched the Patriots last week, but James White looked decent. You know, he's good out of the backfield. Damian Harris has looked good. So I think between them two, you know, I don't even want them to bring Sony Michel back. I just want to see a 1-2 punch of White and Harris because both of those guys are startable if that's just what they got going on back there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not the Belichick way, though. He's going to get Sony Michel back, and we're still going to be pulling our hair out.
Yeah.
Sony Michel got activated.
He did?
I thought I saw that.
Yeah.
I think he'll probably be back this week.
Because the rumor – last week it was he was going to be activated, and then he didn't, and yada, yada. So he probably will be, but I want to see more James White, and I want to see more Damian Harris. Damian Harris looks great. But Damian Harris, he seems to have an injury tag every week as well. So, you know, he could be – he's one hit away from a 2 or 3 week stint on the IR. So we'll see. Don't hold your breath. Julio Jones got another hamstring injury in week 11 in the second quarter. So Calvin Ridley came back last week. Julio Jones goes out. He returned mostly as a decoy in the fourth quarter. He is considered day-to-day at this time. He's another guy I have no shares of. But if I did, you know, I'd be concerned about starting him because his ceiling is so high and his floor is so low. You know, he's great when he's healthy, but he has these small, you know, muscle tissue injuries. So Julio Jones definitely makes me nervous. Now, Adam Thielen, he was added to the COVID list, so he might be out this week. So that's something to keep an eye on. And so, go ahead.
I was going to say, too, something else to consider about the COVID list. Stefania Bell with the ESPN with Matthew Berry show or whatever, she said that they had 108 positive NFL COVID tests in the last 2 weeks. Compared that to 146 in total for the previous 11 weeks. And we know that in America in general, the numbers are just rising. So obviously it looks like that's spilling over into the NFL. I would venture to say that there's a good chance, obviously, they're not going to cancel the potential ratings that they have here with Thanksgiving weekend. Like, this is a big numbers weekend for the NFL. But if they have another really bad week like that, where there's 50-plus COVID cases, positive cases, I think it might be time for them to consider that pause in the season that they had said in the beginning of the season could be one of the plans if things got bad. You know,
how many positive tests did they have this past week?
In the last 2 weeks total, they've had 108.
So what? An NFL team is what, like 52?
Yeah, so it's like two NFL That's teams.
Two teams. And then how many tests positive were there the first 11 weeks?
And that, like a week or two before the season started, but in total 146 altogether.
So that's 52, 104, almost three teams. So it's about five teams have got it already. So, you know, there's another.
It's probably like the Jets, Jaguars, Bears. They know they suck and they're pretty well done. So they're like, hell, through the protocol, let's go have some fun.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that that's how that math works, but also also though there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the whole herd immunity thing isn't working for this virus, and people are getting it a second and third time. So I don't know that we can really count those numbers out. You know,
I've been watching this show called Utopia on Amazon. I don't know if either of you guys have watched it, but it's, you know, it's crazy. It's interesting. Very, very interesting. And it's kind of, you know, it's almost like The Walking Dead in a sense that it comes from a graphic novel, I believe, or comic. It's got that kind of vibe, but it's not zombies. But it talks about like pandemics and viruses but if you get a chance, if either of you have Amazon Prime, watch it or watch a few episodes at least. Anybody who's listening, check it out because it is definitely very interesting. But
I will. Right now, I'm still watching that other show you got me hooked to, and I don't think it's as funny as you think it is, but it is still pretty good. It has its moments.
What we do in the shadows?
In the shadows, yeah. That damn vampire documentary.
Did you see the Jackie Daytona episode yet?
No, I'm about four or five episodes in.
I just started this week. That's in season two. That one, that's Laszlo. Laszlo kind of runs away, and he pretends he's a human bartender, and it's very funny. That's a good one. So there, you got two tonight. You can go watch What We Do in the Shadow for comedy, or if you want to rush, you can go watch Utopia. That's a good one. Let's finish this injury. What's that?
Watch The Queen's Gambit, Netflix.
Awesome. Yes, we watched that.
On my list too, yeah.
Uh-huh, that's me and my wife watched that. That's a good show as well. So there's three, man. We're just dropping it all out there for you guys. Go watch some shows. Don't listen to us. Go watch TV. You know? all right, Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins are both tested positive for COVID and will miss week 12. The Ravens have the rare occasion of playing on Thursday night this week, and it's for Thanksgiving, and it's unlike they won't play. Dobbins and Ingram won't play. And next week they're on Thursday night as well, so they're playing 7 days away instead of having a 10-day break. So it's unlikely they play next week as well. So, but they do have Gus Edwards and they do have Justice Hill, so it'll likely be one of those two. Just some updates. Austin Eckler, Chargers plan to designate him from return from injured reserve list. It's not sure if he'll play this week, but it's looking like he'll play the next week in week 14. And I got that from Tom Pelissero on Twitter. Drew Brees had additional tests that revealed a total of 11 fractured ribs. It's unlikely that he'll play again during the season. I just traded for him. I think I traded with you, Nate, for Drew Brees. He goes down. And I traded a 2022 first in another Superflex league for Drew Brees because I had Nick Mullins and Jake Luton or Lutton starting for me, and he goes down, and I needed to make a push, and man, this Drew Brees injury is crushing me. David Montgomery is returning this week for any of you guys who have him on your rosters. I know you do, Justin. So, how are you feeling about David Montgomery coming back?
I mean, I got my RB2 back, and without him, I really wasn't missing a whole lot. With him, I guess I'm getting a little bit back. It is what it is. Montgomery is Montgomery. At least I know what I'm going to get out of him. I'm going to get about 8 to 12 points every week.
All right, and then DeAndre Swift is likely to return this week. I know he didn't practice today, and he's got that concussion thing going on, so I wouldn't be too sure about it because it is Thursday night. So I'm not sure how I feel about DeAndre Swift, and it could be an Adrian Peterson classic. You know, he's familiar with some Thanksgiving games, so they might want to just let Adrian Peterson take it away. Raheem Mostert, they're expecting him to be – well, the target date has been week 12 all along after their week 11 bye, but it's yet to be announced if he'll play this week. If not, it will likely be very soon, so similar – to Swift. He'll probably be coming back pretty soon, similar to Eckler. Bridgewater was close to playing in week 11. Actually, it was said that he was supposed to be emergency backup, but then they decided to just shut him down. They have a bye in week 13, so it looks like he'll come back in week 14. Joe Mixon went on the IR last week, and with Burrow out and nothing to play for, it's likely that Mixon may be shelved for the remainder of the season, but I've also seen that he could come back in week 14. So, you know, I would, if you have Mixon and you're counting on Mixon, go make a move, especially if you're going to make the playoffs. Go make a move, because I wouldn't, you know, he'd be bonus for me. You know, he'd definitely be, you know, something extra. I wouldn't be putting too much, you know, too many eggs in that basket. Chris Carson has been close to returning every week for the last 2 weeks. This injury wasn't a big deal, but now it's kept him out for a month. Monitor the situation like you already have. You know, they got DJ Dallas. They got Carlos Hyde. So I don't think they necessarily need Chris Carson back, but they could definitely use him because they, too, are trying to make a push with the way the Rams are playing. Kenny Golladay may play this week, but not at all likely. And, again, that's a Thursday night game, so I'm not too sure. But I do feel a little more confident in him playing than I do DeAndre Swift. I think he's a little more likely. David Johnson must miss one more week, then he can return in week 13. So if you're riding Duke Johnson, continue to do that. But David Johnson might be back for a playoff push. Debo Samuel, it's hopeful that he'll return this week. So if you got him in an IR slot, monitor that, because he might be coming back, and he's a big game waiting to happen. Him and Ayuk, when they've been on the field, have been great. And then finally, Myles Gaskin is likely out at least one more week. So we got one more week to use Salvin Ahmed before Gaskin returns. Do you guys have anything to say about any of these injuries? Guys, go ahead.
I do want to add to the Teddy Bridgewater thing. Technically, like, there is a chance he could come back this week. So I know that we said that he's definitely going to come back after the bye week, because they're week 13 bye week. They got that late bye week. But there is still that chance they could bring him back this week. We just put in the notes that a team in this situation could potentially sit him one more week to take advantage of the bye week next week as an extra week off. So, so just make sure you still monitor Bridgewater. He could still potentially play.
All right. You know, go ahead.
Ayuk's coming back this week too. I know he was on the COVID list. Him and Javon Kinlaw, are they going to play this week?
Well, the last I heard about Ayuk, he was also going through some other injury issues as well on top of the COVID. He is off of the COVID list, but I'm not sure on the injury update itself. I'll check into that right now.
And right, I believe Pete Carroll said Rashad Penny's going to come back to practice next week. For anybody that cares, because he stinks, but, you know, whatever. Just add another guy to the backfield.
Man, I can't believe didn't they use a first-round pick on him?
Sure did. Those Pac-12 guys out on the West Coast, don't draft him in the first round. It doesn't work out.
Man, they draft like SHIT, the Seahawks, but every single year they're a Super Bowl contender. So they manage to rise above. They rise above every year. So ahead and they trade it.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
As of right now, Ayuk is still on the COVID list.
I was going to say, they went ahead and they traded two firsts for Jamal Adams, so that's going to hurt their draft as well, but they'll still be Super Bowl contenders. They don't even need draft picks. Just keep – as long as they got Russell Wilson, they're all right. All right, let's go down to games of the week. Nate, what is your game of the week?
Mine is the Titans at the Colts on Sunday at 1 o'clock. I'm really excited. I know the Colts beat my Packers. I don't really need to talk about it. You've all seen my Twitter avatar now that's – very, very nice.
Where can we find your Twitter avatar and tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's at Nate_Dirt19. You'll see a very nice picture that says "Let's Go Colts." It's sparkly. It's just a great looking. It's really nice. I might leave it longer in the week. I don't know. But you know, Justin and I made a bet last week. You know, my Packers and his Colts. And it is what it is.
So I selected one. It says "Go Colts" because we know that, you know, he's a closet Colts fan. He's gonna root for the guys. And then I made sure that I had a little bit of glitter and bling to it to just hint to it, just enough of a touch of his feminine side.
His Packers side is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, hey now.
I wasn't gonna go there.
Disappointed because you know. It's too much. You know, like I said, when you're up to don't let off. Don't stop. Anyways, my game week, Titans Colts. Looking forward to see the Colts probably beat the Titans again. The Titans defense is not good, which helps Phillip Rivers. And I think, you know, the Colts, their defense just looked good again last week. In the second half, for sure, they made some big changes at halftime and stopped everything. And I think that I think Jonathan Taylor kind of was putting it together a little bit last week, and hopefully that continues for us fantasy owners that have been waiting. And I'm just excited. Like I said, I'm excited to see where it goes. The Colts are kind of in charge of their own destiny right now, and, you know, they got to keep reeling them off, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm nervous about Rivers. I know he was a little banged up last week. I'm nervous to see how he plays, you know, if they're going to let him chuck it or if they're going to try to just pound it. You know, so I do have some tough decisions to make at quarterback this week between Tannehill and Rivers. I got to pick one of the two. But speaking of the Titans, Corey Davis, you know, I'm cheering for that guy, like, hard. You know, he's been through some things, and he's a quiet guy, plays the game the way it's supposed to be played. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just all positive things about that guy. I got nothing negative to say about him. I just want to see that guy succeed. So that's my tidbit on this game. But Justin, what is your game of the week?
So I went with Washington at Dallas, mostly because I wanted to get a giggle out of having Washington and Dallas as my game of the week. But Ryan Finley and the Bengals will beat the Giants, and the Eagles I think Ryan Finley is
Giants are winning the East.
To beat the Giants, and the Eagles will get blown out by Seattle on Monday night. So this game, the winner of this game is going to be taking the lead of the division for the NFC East. and that is hilarious to me. And it's on Thanksgiving Day. So it's so like, I mean, we're already going to be in a turkey coma and we're going to be, well, in my case anyway, I'll probably be two drinks too deep because I don't care what the doctor says. If it's a holiday, it doesn't count. Right. So, So I'm going to pretend like this is a hell of a game and I'm going to have fun.
Man, I was so disgusted with Dallas winning last week.
Hey, you know what though? Props to Zeke. First game over 100 yards of the year. You know, good time to do it. Week 11. I like it.
Yeah.
He's a lamb, man. That I'm one touchdown away from that prop bet I picked on Lamb prior to the season. So I already hit on the Dolphins. Over under win total. I'm close to hitting on the Colts over under win total. And Lamb, I just need one more touchdown and I hit that. Oh, we got an audible here. What's Pittman's floor for the rest of the year? In PPR, 10 points a game. 10 points a game. That's what I think.
I told him wide receiver 3 at the floor.
Yeah, I think his floor is about 4 receptions, 40, 50 yards. So maybe that's a little below 10. So my math's not too great, but I think that's what you're looking at. 9 or 10 points is his bottom. Pittman's balling. And I got Pittman in a league that Justin's in. And Justin's got Austin Eckler and Hunter Henry. And I'm trying to make a power move to get a good stretch run here. So maybe I can add something to Pittman for one or two of those guys. But keep drinking that. Keep drinking that beer that's the size of your head, and we'll keep talking. All right. All right. My game of the week is Ravens at Steelers. This one's going to be a slugfest. I think this is going to be great. There's no love lost here between the Ravens and Steelers. It's at Pittsburgh. It's 8:20 Thanksgiving Day. I'm excited to see the Ravens with Gus Edwards in the backfield as the feature back without them, you know, rotating between the three. I want to see him. I want to see Lamar Jackson. Dez Bryant had 4 catches this weekend. That was phenomenal. That's my guy. He played well. Mark Andrews balled. And then you got the Steelers, man, with the way Roethlisberger's clicking with Claypool. Deontay's been balling. And then you got Juju, who's a little banged up. But also, we're not even talking about the defenses. These defenses are loaded. So I think it's going to be a slugfest. And I surprisingly think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be something like 20-14, 20-17. I don't think there's going to be a lot of fireworks as far as getting into the end zone, but there will be a lot of fireworks as far as people running into each other full speed. So I'm looking forward to that on 8:20 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day because I'm going to need to watch people running into each other full speed if the Cowboys end up beating the Redskins. Or even though I don't want Dallas to win, if the Redskins demolish Dallas, I'll still be pretty frustrated. So it's a lose-lose for me as far as the 4:30 p.m. game goes. We're going to move on to our betting segment. Before we do, we've been doing a little something with Thrive, with the Thrive app. So let's discuss that a little bit, fellas.
You want me to take it?
I may as well. Why not? So the Thrive Fantasy app, you download the Thrive Fantasy app if you've not already downloaded it on your phone or downloaded it on – you can actually log in on the computer as well. Their website works just as well as the app. But you can log on, download, enter some – deposit some money anywhere between $20 to $50. If you deposit anywhere between $20 to $50, they will double the money that you put in. So if you deposit $50, you're going to have $100 in your account. then you would bet just like you would bet on DK, or any other, betting site. It doesn't work exactly like, DK, but, DraftKings, when I say DK, I mean DraftKings, but it doesn't work exactly like DraftKings, but something very similar to that. The bets are a little different, but, you just have to use the promo code that I'm having trouble finding. There we go. Right there, next to Nate's left shoulder, T2T, right down there. Oh, I guess, yeah, there you go. T2T, that stands for Toilets, Two Titles. Enter that promo code, get your free money, and then hit us up and tell us how well you did.
All right, I want to interrupt. Uncle Steve's got a question. He wants to know, does he start Edwards over Gurley, Hunt, Gibson, or Carson? It's a little bit of a tease because I talk about Edwards in my dudes and duds segment, but I would definitely start him over Gurley. I'm about done with Gurley. I'd consider cutting Gurley. I don't curse on this show, and I just cursed because of Todd Gurley. I'd consider benching him for the remainder of the season because he's absolutely terrible. So, yes, I'd start Edwards over Gurley, but I think I'd start Hunt and Gibson over Edwards, and I think Carson or Edwards would be a toss-up. So I have him right alongside Carson and above Gurley, but behind Hunt and Gibson. So, Nate, let's talk about some lines that caught your eye this week and some locks.
So it's been kind of interesting. I know last week anyways, the public was not good. I know the books were killing it, which, you know, I guess they got to do that to keep the lights on, right? So my first one that caught my eye is Seahawks -5 with the Eagles. The Eagles are trash. Carson Wentz stinks. He's leading the league in sacks, interceptions, and fumbles. You know, I don't even know what they're doing. They run the ball well, which is really frustrating. You know, Miles Sanders looks good, and then Doug Peterson gets tired of running the ball, and then they start throwing it, and it doesn't work. You know, they need to figure something out, whether it's new front office or whatever. Seahawks, their defense looked better, I thought, last week, but, you know, like I said, I think Russ will get going again, and I think they will easily cover that -5. Next one is the Packers -8.5 versus the Bears. Packers have got to win this game and have got to blow them out after last week's debacle. I think they will. I know the defense is good, but, you know, so is the Colts defense, and they put up points against them, and I don't even know who's starting a quarterback for the Bears. Doesn't really matter. Their offense has been putrid. I know Laser took over the offensive play calling, and it didn't really matter. So, you know, like I said, -8.5, I think. You know, it's Sunday night. I think the Packers obviously have something to prove. So, another one I like, Colts -3.5 versus Titans. Talked about that earlier. I think that the Titans' defense being so poor will help. You know, whether Rivers is throwing a little quick dump off to the guys, or if, you know, JT's back running like he was, or Wilkins or Hines, whatever. I don't really care because it's just betting. It's not fantasy for me. So, as long as the Colts cover, I'll be a happy man. And then, like I said, a couple locks I got that I think anyways. First one is Rams -7 versus the 49ers. The 49ers are still pretty banged up. I know Nick Mullins has been serviceable, I guess. But the Rams look really, really good, I think. Their defense is playing very well. You know, they just dominated the Tampa Bay Monday night. And that was with Aaron Donald. I don't even think he had a tackle. And they still, you know, took care of him pretty easily. Another stat I actually saw, under Sean McVay, the Rams are 32-0 when leading at halftime. So if you like to bet in the second half, that's a good one. I probably just jinxed it, but
yeah,
that's hard to bet against.
The probability says that they are bound to lose one.
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing, George? Good to see you.
Yeah. If you're listening to the show on Podbean or Apple Podcasts, we are responding to comments in our live chat during our YouTube stream, which is pretty lit. So you're missing out if you're not here.
Another one I like, Cardinals -2.5 as Patriots. As Patriots are dead. I thought that they would beat the Texans last week. I don't know how that happened, you know, but it just kind of, they don't have anything. And I know they said they've been running the ball decent, but they looked pretty terrible last week.
Sitting Watson cost me a game. I sat Watson. I had him starting all week, and then I sat him for Brady, and it cost me a game. It cost me a game in our fictional league.
Yeah, I traded you to Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Because Prescott.
Sitting him on the bench cost me.
Yeah.
It was Prescott plus.
Oh, I
forget
yeah.
What they gave you. Yeah. Oh, Prescott and Chenault I gave you. Yeah.
Yeah. It worked. Well, next year it'll work. But I think Kyler, I know he's got that sprained AC joint, but they look really good still, even after coming off the loss. I think they'll be just fine. And my last lock of the week is Steelers -4. I know we were kind of talking about their defenses. I think that the Ravens are reeling. I think that not that people have figured them out, but they haven't really changed much. And I think that the defenses know kind of what they want to do. The Ravens don't have a drop back pass game. When they get behind, they're pretty well toast. Their offensive line's a mess. I think they've benched that Fluker quite a few times, you know, and it's things are a mess there. And Clayus Campbell's out with COVID. I believe their starting nose tackle or second stringer is also out. And that'll hurt. Yes, that's it. Sorry, I couldn't remember his name. And I think that Big Ben and that offense is too much to handle, and their defense is just ridiculous. You know, like you said earlier, you touched on it with your game of the week. I think the Steelers will take it pretty easy. And that minus four has probably gone up. That was right when the news broke that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram were both out. So, you know, it's probably changed now. And by the time if you listen to this tomorrow, it'll probably be changed even more. But that's just kind of where I was at with that. So,
how many points would you need to take the Ravens? I know this is not an easy question. And I know, but I just want to, how many points do you think the Steelers are going to beat the Ravens by?
7.5.
I need at least 9.5 or 10.
Ooh. Stop. You think it's going to be that bad?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a wager. I'll take 8. I'll take 8, Nate.
All right. Let's do it.
We got to think about it. In the comments, we could discuss. You guys can give some suggestions as to what me and Nate should be betting against each other. But if you're going to give me the Ravens 8, I'll take it. Because this is a division game, man. This isn't like, you know what I mean? These guys know each other. So I understand 4, but damn, 9 or 10, you're riding the Steelers train right now. You're a Steelers bandwagoner right now.
I'm just hoping Deontay keeps loading up points. So, I mean, it's whatever. But, I didn't know until today. If the playoffs start today, the Ravens don't make the playoffs.
What's their record?
7 and – I thought it was 7.
6-6? Or 6-5, maybe? I don't know. We'll have to look at it. But I understand that they wouldn't be in the playoffs. That's great, man. Moore hasn't been playing too great. I almost traded for him in the league a few weeks ago, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. But I am stuck with Matt Ryan, and he's been playing pretty bad as well.
I'm also going to throw
– 4.
What was that?
They're 6-4.
They're 6-4.
I'm also going to
5.5 now.
On the bathroom board bet, because we need to get Nate some more board bets in there anyway. So I'm gonna throw it on the board bet, and we'll let these guys comment about what you guys should have as your own sidebar bet. But also another bathroom bet for you, Johnny, since you just completely trashed one of the best running backs in the NFL. Since he's joined the league, I would have to say, because you said he's droppable, you're teetering towards dropping Todd Gurley. I'm going to say he still finishes as an RB2 from this point on in PPR between for starting this week to week 16. That's in PPR and with him having another game against the Saints coming up.
How about, why don't we say RB18. Let's cut it there. RB18 or less. Will you give me that?
Oh, because you said droppable. That's like RB.
I'm very frustrated. I own Todd Gurley in 2 leagues, and I'm very frustrated with him. And I want to drop him because I'm so frustrated, but I can't. How about 20? I'll give you RB20.
Okay. All right. Well, I was going to take 18, so I'll definitely take 20.
Yeah, but I also want to, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I need to back up the talk. So I'll do RB20. If he's less than that, I win it. If he's above that, but only for the next down the stretch, right? We're not talking prior to this.
From this point until the end of week 16.
All right. Steve thinks that me and Nate, loser has to shave the beard, but that's too much, Steve. I don't mind shaving the beard. I do it every few weeks, but I don't think
I'll shave it off this sweet mustache. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It comes back pretty quick. So
just leave the mustache. Yeah. You've done that before.
That's what I do. It's good that way. The wife doesn't really like it, but I think it looks nice.
It does. I think it looks nice too, Nate. All right, dudes and duds for this week. Dudes, I got Derek Carr at Atlanta. Carr is coming off a strong performance versus Kansas City, 275 yards through the air and 3 touchdowns, and is building confidence for a stretch run. He will face a weak Atlanta secondary and should have another strong performance. So I'm drinking the Derek Carr Kool-Aid, and I am starting him. He's looking good. I'm also starting Daniel Jones. He's a dude for me this week at Cincinnati. I know Justin said that Cincinnati is going to beat the Giants this week, but me and Nate were quick to say, not going to happen. The Bengals have thrown in the towel with the injury to Burrow. Daniel Jones has been playing well as of late and has become a bit of a dual threat at quarterback. The Bengals' defense is pretty bad against opposing quarterbacks, and Jones should flourish. So look for a lot of Ingram, Slayton, Golden Tate coming back, Wayne Gallman. I think the Giants are going to score a lot of points. Dude, at running back, I got Gus Edwards at Pittsburgh. Though Pittsburgh has been stout versus the run, Edwards hit them for 16 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown in week 8. With only Justice Hill to share touches with him, I expect Gus to eat on Thanksgiving. Running back Zach Moss versus the LA Chargers. In 4 of the last 7 games, the Chargers defense has allowed 2 backs to top 10 PPR points. And for the season, they have let up an average of 25 total PPR points to RBs per games. Moss top 10 PPR points 3 of the last 4 games. And coming off of a bye, I think he continues to surge. Rich, I am on the Nation train, man. I got to root for somebody. So I'm on it, man. I'm definitely on. I got to give props when props are due, man. I told you when Jacobs was a dud, and I was pretty much spot on. And now I'm telling you when Derek Carr is a dude, and I'm thinking he's going to continue to rise. All right, wide receivers, Robert Woods versus San Francisco. I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter today, Devontae Adams said that Cooper Kupp is the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL, and I love that. I love when – real recognize real and great recognize great, but I'm going to recognize great here. Robert Woods is the second fiddle in LA, but versus San Francisco, he's going to ball out. He blew up last week for 12 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Jared Goff and the Rams offense are focused on their top 2 receiving threats, Kupp and Woods, and I'm ready to ride that wave. So give me Robert Woods. Here's a good one. Chase Claypool versus Baltimore. The Ravens are allowing the 8th fewest yards per target to wide receivers, but I'm not scared. Claypool is a big-time player playing in his first Thanksgiving game. You know what they say, big-time players make big-time plays and big-time games, and Chase Claypool is a big-time player, and he is going to ball out, and he's going to be eating turkey legs in the MVP booth after the game. So look for that.
Catch that touchdown when they go up by 14 at the end of the game.
He's going to what?
The touchdown when they go up by 14 at the end of the game.
Well, maybe. Also, Hunter Henry, tight end at Buffalo. Over the last 3 weeks, Henry has seen 20 total targets. Though he's only topped 45 receiving yards once over that time frame, I like his chances of topping that total in what should be a shootout versus the Bills. All right, my duds for this week. I got Ryan Tannehill at the Colts. Colts held Tannehill to 147 yards and a touchdown in week 10, and I think he'll have another tough outing versus Indianapolis. Roethlisberger versus Baltimore. Ben was held to under 200 passing yards last time he faced the Ravens defense, and I expect similar results this week. Ben is getting up there in age, and the quick turnaround before a Thursday night game could put him behind the eight ball as far as recovery goes. This game will be a slugfest, and Ben will take a back seat to the ground game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back at Tampa Bay. Helaire owners finally got a big performance from him last week, but will be disappointed with his production this week. The Bucs have the best run defense in the NFL. They have only allowed 2 backs over 10 PPR points over the last 5 weeks, one of which was Alvin Kamara, who had 15 PPR points. The ground game will be non-existent. We'll be seeing a lot of throwing between Mahomes and Brady. The Rams running backs versus San Francisco. The Rams are chucking it. They are chucking it. They're not running it. They are chucking it. No Rams back topped 8 touches on the ground last week. I have no confidence in either of the 3, and I am avoiding them at all counts. Good luck guessing which one of them is going to get in the end zone, because that's what you're going to need if you're going to get any points worth starting running back there. Travis Fulgham, wide receiver versus Seattle. Seahawks have the second worst passing defense in the NFL, and on paper, this looks great for Fulgham. All that being said, with a healthy Rager and Goddard the last 2 weeks, Travis has only seen 1 target a game. I will not be playing him anywhere this week. This next one comes from Nate. Hollywood Brown at Pittsburgh. Brown gave fantasy owners a big old zero last week, and my confidence in him is at an all-time low. With the playoffs around the corner, most teams cannot afford to risk starting a player like him. Though his ceiling is still high, his floor is about as low as it can go. I am not trusting him. And then finally, Mark Andrews, tight end at Pittsburgh. Andrews has been feast or famine this season, topping 4 receptions only 4 times this season, which is pretty horrendous. Coming off of a monster performance last week, he'll be the focal point of Steeler defensive meetings going into the Thursday night game. Last time they saw each other, the Steelers held Andrews to 3 for 32. So I am sitting him. And guys, as you know, all of these notes will be on at fusionffb.com. After the episode, you can go there and you can find it if you want to be able to read it while you are setting your lineup. So don't worry about writing all that stuff down or remembering it at all, but it'll be up there, right? So Justin, why don't you take over, my friend, and why don't you give them some streamers for the week?
Is he on mute?
He might be on mute.
Yep.
This is great content right here, Justin. Justin, if you see him talking to the screen, you could read his lips.
Well, I think it's because I'm 2/3 of the way through this picture.
Two hands while we're learning, buddy. Come on now.
All right, I got this.
You said that's Yingling in there?
Yeah. Well, it's Yingling Flight because, I mean, they are doctors, so I should probably at least watch what I'm doing, right?
Right. Well, Yingling is a local to me, where I live.
Yeah, well, they just started selling it in Indiana like a year ago, so I'm really excited because I love it. I love their product.
You don't come as far west.
Well, maybe when I meet up with you, if that can ever happen, Nate, I'll bring you a case. Yeah.
But, I like it. I just like to get over here.
Right. I added a little extra section here. I've got the good, the bad, and the ugly from last week. And just because there's one on here that's kind of funny, so I think I'm going to keep it on there as the ugly. But I did pretty well last week, actually. I did a lot more good than I did bad. So hopefully you guys actually watched the episode last week. But I had Kalen Ballage, 14.1 PPR points with his 7 receptions last week. Damian Harris had 12.4 PPR with his 2nd touchdown of the season. And I actually called that touchdown last week on the show. Salvon Ahmed, depending on how you want to pronounce it. It varies so much. I've seen it in so many different ways. I tried to Google it, and like one site will say that Ahmed is actually
That's like great. Awesome that you cared so much. You tried to Google how his name's pronounced. That's
yeah.
Big enough right there.
Well, it's because I don't want to be insensitive to the guy, you know.
I get it, man.
Pronounce his name correctly, but I wish that we could have an interview with him and he could just straight up tell us this is how I pronounce it, because some people do pronounce it Ahmed. And I know George, if he's still watching, he's going to type in that local newspaper down there in Florida said that it is pronounced Ahmed. But but I guess until I hear it from him, I'm just not going to believe it, because too many people of too many ethnicities say that is kind of a slap in the face to pronounce it that way. So
I'm nervous about even saying his name at all.
Yeah, Salvon. His name's Salvon. We'll go with that. 12.4 PPR with his two receptions this past week. Taysom Hill, I said last week on our show that he's a great cheat code for that tight end position, and now it's become kind of a big thing in the fantasy football world. There's a lot of people that are ticked off. ESPN has taken off the wide receiver position from his name, but if he is in your starting lineup, you can leave him in your starting lineup on ESPN. You just cannot move any other positions either. Like, your lineup is locked until you move him out of that tight end position. So if you're done with your bye weeks and you have no injury issues, you could have this cheat code all the way through the playoffs now if you're in ESPN leagues. So hopefully you listen to
That's
me.
Bush league. That's Bush league.
Hey, yeah. You do what you have to do.
I thought – by the way, in an ESPN league, and I didn't get any of those damn points when he threw the ball. I only got points when he ran it and scored touchdowns. So it didn't even matter.
Well, then you still got the rushing touchdowns then. That's still a lot better than
better than tight end I was going to start, so I guess.
Right, exactly. But then also, I was on the Sunday Morning Blitz show with Sleeper Wire, and I said there that if you can only start him at quarterback, don't be afraid to start him at quarterback, because I knew that that rushing game was going to be on point with him. He's practically utilized as a running back as it is, and sure enough, he went out. He had a really good game, 233 passing yards, 51 rushing yards, and he sniped two rushing touchdowns from Kamara. The Browns' defense was another good one that I had. They were the top defense of the week in most scoring formats. Cousins was a top four quarterback. Jalen Reagor was he had 9.2 PPR points. Carolina was a top four defense for you. I said to start Washington if Stafford was out. Stafford did play, but Washington still finishes a top five in most scoring formats. So maybe you still went ahead and started them. If you did, good on you. I wouldn't have, and I would have made a mistake. But the ones that I missed on, Tua got benched due to poor performance. So obviously that was bad on my part to tell you to start him. Fitzpatrick is still clearly the better quarterback in that offense, but they're still saying that Tua is going to be their guy.
Yeah, I want you to know your old lady's watching right now, and she's counting how much you've been drinking. She thinks you've been drinking too much, so well, reel it in. Reel it in.
It's still the first one. It's still the first one.
All right, so let's see. Jacoby Myers, 6.8 PPR. Josh Reynolds, 6.2 PPR, and Van Jefferson sniped his touchdown. So those aren't horrible numbers, but if you're trying to stream a wide receiver, you like to see more than that in a PPR. The Dolphins defense was somewhere between the 15th to the 25th best defense, depending on your league scoring format. And then the ugly. The ugly was me telling you that Jameis Winston was going to get the start and that he was going to be a viable fantasy quarterback, and then he didn't even start. And I'm not even sure that he even got in on any plays. Like, he wasn't a part of their package at all. So obviously you probably knew that going into the week, and you saw that and you didn't start him. So it's pointless for me to throw it on there, but I'm going to be transparent. If I tell you something and I'm confident in it, and then I look like a buffoon, I'm willing to admit it. So for this week, considering I did mostly good, let's try it again. Tua, I'm going to go with Tua again. That's right. I think he has a bounce back week this week. He's still available in nearly 50% of redraft leagues. And after this last week's performance, he's probably going to stay that way. He's going up against the use this team to get things corrected Jets this week. So he will definitely get the rushing going finally this week and be a viable top 12 quarterback. And that's what I'm calling for this week. I'm not calling any special touchdowns. I'm just calling that Tua will be a top 12 quarterback against the Jets. Derek Carr, just like Coach said, I'm with you on Carr. Rich, I'm on that Nation train right now too. This call does still scare me just a bit, just because the Raiders seem to play down to the level of their opponents. They play up to the level of their good opponents and down to the level of their bad. I still think, though, that for the next 2 weeks they're playing the Falcons and the Jets. Even if they play down a notch, they're still going to beat the Falcons and the Jets, and they should still have relatively good fantasy games. Let's see. Running backs. Going with Salvon Ahmed again. He's playing at the 0-10 Jets. There's no reason to believe that the Dolphins won't be playing most of this game with the lead, running the ball, and he's still unowned in 34% of ESPN leagues. So that's so he's probably owned in more leagues than what I would normally use for a streamer, but at the same time, it's the running back position. So we're desperate to find good streaming running backs anyway. But one that is available in our target range, unowned in 44% of redraft leagues, is Wayne Gallman. He's facing the Bengals, who already aren't that good against the run, and now they have Ryan Finley at quarterback. You can expect decent field position and favorable possession times for the Giants. And you know what? I was joking earlier when I said that the Bengals are going to beat the Giants, but now I'm going to stand by it just because you two are against it, just so I can look like I was a genius when it happened.
Are we going to put that on the board as well?
Yeah, you know what?
Let's make it a bet.
That's me against both of you then. I'm taking the Bengals. That defense is going to rally around Finley, and they're going to do all they can to help keep him in this game. I don't know if I can say that with a straight face, but we're going to roll with it. Let's see. My wide receivers, Nelson Aguilar, was targeted 4 times 2 weeks ago against Denver. Two of those targets were deep down the field throws, and he simply couldn't connect with Carr. But aside from that game, his games before and after were his typical type of games that he's had on the season. He's averaging nearly 20 yards per reception and has 6 touchdowns in 10 games this season. And we know Atlanta has one of the worst pass defenses in the league this season, and they're prone to giving up that deep pass. Aguilar is going to be that deep guy this week. Be ready to start him. Tight end, I got Dalton Schultz. Washington's front seven is their strong point. I'll give them that. But they are still not very good against tight ends. They're 19th in yards allowed and 19th in total touchdowns allowed on the season against tight ends, and 23rd in total PPR fantasy points allowed against tight ends on the season. Schultz has consistently averaged 5 targets or more, even without Dak at quarterback.
I just want you to know, Rich, our lovely Raiders fan in the comments here is drooling over Josh Jacobs. So he says that he's going to push for the rushing title in the last half of the season. So if you are Josh Jacobs, Rich says that's what's going to happen. So you better hope he's right.
Okay, all right.
Put it on the board. Not going to happen.
Put it on the board. You know what? Rich has been a very awesome supporter of our show since week one, or since day one, really. So I think he deserves to have a board bet. So we will put that on the board. That's him. All three of us.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you now have 3 board bets up there, brother.
All right. Congratulations. You made it.
And also, there's a really good chance that his son's watching this show too. So young Gonzalez, if you got a bet for us, just send it to us. We might consider it. Let's see. The Giants are my defense for this week. They get to face Ryan Finley, and Finley was 3 for 10 for 30 yards and an interception after Burrow went down, and it wasn't even a very pretty 3 on that 3 for 10. It was ugly, I'm not gonna lie. He did have a really nice 19 yard run, but on the passing end, there should be real opportunity for the Giants to create turnovers. Also, surprisingly, the Giants are already a top 12 fantasy defense in most scoring formats, and a lot of people wouldn't realize that unless you actually looked it up. Look it up in your league. It's crazy. And now it's not sounding too well for my side bet that I just made.
It's like, when you read it, I was like, exactly.
Nicking the hell out of himself.
But, hey, we'll take a 3-0 win for the Bengals. Let's see. Yeah. More streamers to consider: Carson Wentz, Matt Stafford, Gus Edwards, Olabisi Johnson if Thielen doesn't play, because like we said earlier, he is on that COVID list. There's potential that he might not play. So Olabisi Johnson should step into that role if he's needed. Robert Tonyan, Logan Thomas, the Seahawks, and the Packers.
Man, I got a tough decision to make in Frankenstank between Jordan Reed and Robert Tonyan. So I think Jordan Reed is a player I'd put as a streamer to consider as well. Can I add to your streamer list, Justin?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, put Jordan Reed on there. I think he's that guy. Whenever he's on the field, he's just balls. I can't tell you he's going to be on the field for too long, but if he plays, he's going to play this week. So I'm expecting 5 or 6 receptions from him.
And so, I don't know if it's just me or not, but I think that was one of my better reads since we started the show. So I might have to start with a pitcher of beer every show.
That was a phenomenal read, man. That was a
phenomenal. I respect the hell out of that idea.
Yeah, I think it went pretty smoothly. I think it takes off the edge.
Which went down more smoothly, the read or the beer?
Definitely the beer, because I don't even remember the read.
Oh. Yeah. You gotta have a couple before you start, just to take the edge off. That's how I am every day, you know?
Look at your wife coming to your – so Rich is telling you to put down the beer, and she said you're almost done, and you're not a quitter, so you're not going to put it. So look at that, man.
You guys don't even understand. My wife is a badass.
Like, you got your back, man. That's huge. Yeah,
awesome. Like, 20 years will do that.
We were threading you earlier on the chat.
What's that?
It's that her and Joshua were getting after you on the chat earlier. Now she's being nice to you on your Twitter. I appreciate
that. Oh yeah, there's Joshua.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, let me go. Let me get going. We're almost at an hour mark. And here, let's go some DFS plays this week. My DFS lineup is going to win you some money. I quarterback. This is DraftKings.com. So I quarterback got Derek Carr, who I had as a dude this week at ATL. 5,700. I got Nick Chubb, who's looked absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal at Jacksonville, 7,100. He's my most expensive play this week. Jonathan Taylor looked great last week. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him, especially with Phillip Rivers a little banged up. So Jonathan Taylor versus Tennessee, 5,900. And then DJ Moore, who's come on very strong against a very weak Minnesota defense, at 6,200. Robert Woods, who I had as a dude, versus San Francisco at 5,800. And then Jalen Reagor versus Seattle, that terrible Seattle secondary at 4,400. He's a boom-bust play, but I like his chances of getting the end zone at least once. He only needs three or four receptions, and he could take that, 120 yards and into the end zone. So at 4,400, it's worth it. Hunter Henry at Buffalo at 4,800. He's looked very good. That offense has looked a lot different ever since Justin Herbert took over. And I did have Hunter Henry as a dude this week as well, so I'm definitely playing him. Chase Claypool, another guy I had as a dude, versus Baltimore at 6,100. And then the Giants defense, like Justin talked about, at Cincinnati for 3,200. This lineup gives you $800 left over. You're not even spending all the money you got in there. So if you'd like to make a few changes, you can go ahead and do that, because I'm leaving you some money to play with. Now, guys, I got a bonus for Thanksgiving. I got a Thanksgiving Day tiers play. Okay, so this is going to go on DraftKings.com. Just Thanksgiving, the three games you want to do the tiers. Tier one, Deshaun Watson at Detroit. He's going to throw the ball all over the yard. Tier two, Terry McLaurin at Dallas. This guy, he's going to top 100 yards. He's going to get two touchdowns. I'm calling two touchdowns over 100 yards for Terry McLaurin at Dallas. CeeDee Lamb versus Washington, he's going to get in the end zone as well. Him and Andy Dalton, I think he's earned Dalton's trust. He had, about 40 reception yards last week and a touchdown. I think he's going to go about 80 yards and a touchdown, five or six receptions. Brandon Cooks at Detroit, he's played very well, and I'm starting Watson in tier one, and I'm starting Cooks in tier four, because they are going to continue to connect. And I'm thinking six or seven receptions for Cooks, 110 yards and a touchdown. Willie Snead at Pittsburgh, someone's got to get it done there. And the last time Willie Snead played Pittsburgh, he played pretty well. So I'm starting him. And then Adrian Peterson in tier six versus Houston. I think that we see Swift hurt still. I don't think he comes back from the concussion. And like I said earlier, I teased it a little bit. I think that Adrian Peterson, ghost of Thanksgiving past, is going to light his fire. Boom, he's gonna top 100 yards on the ground. He's going to have a great day. So that's my bonus Thanksgiving tiers play. Go ahead and set that lineup in. Now let's finish up with some turtle heads. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, real quick, I want to point out, we got Justin Hamm watching us right now, just so you guys know. I know you guys haven't met him yet, but he is one of the guys that's involved in this big opportunity that we teased earlier. So, again, we're going to give you guys more information about this next week when we have something more definite. But, Justin, if you're still watching, we appreciate you jumping on here and showing us some love. And I will be getting in touch with you again tomorrow for sure. So, now, where were we?
Turtle heads. Players that are
my weekly turtle heads. All right, here we go. oh yeah, so I don't have much for you this week, because the closer we get to the end of the season, the more difficult it is to come up with good solid turtle heads. But I do have Sammy Watkins for you for right now. So he's like the ultimate turtle head, because he's about to pop out again, and you need to take advantage of him before he pulls back in, because you know he's going to get that injury after a couple of weeks. So you want to utilize him as much as you possibly can. He is still available in over 61% of ESPN leagues and 33% of my fantasy league.com leagues. The reason that that's so important, the 33% is because a whole lot of those are dynasty leagues. Most of them actually are dynasty leagues. So even a lot of dynasty owners have given up on him during this stretch. So you can go out there and get him for free. He will likely be back as soon as possibly even as soon as this week. Outside of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, no other receiving options in Kansas City has been able to see a consistent number of targets enough to be fantasy relevant, except Watkins. In the first four games before he got hurt, he saw 27 targets over the first 4 weeks, nearly seven per game. I'll take seven targets per game from Mahomes in a Kansas City-led offense in my flex or backup wide receiver role when you can get him for free in so many leagues. So it's definitely worth going out to pick up him.
All right. All right. Well, that wraps it up this week, man. Justin, how can they get in on this giveaway for the Gardner Minshew autographed card? I think it's numbered out of 75 total. So it's pretty valuable when it comes to Gardner Minshew stuff. But how can they win it?
Yep. So again, just go to Twitter and after the show, we will forward that again, or we'll reshare it, retweet it, and you guys can retweet it and tag three people. Retweeting it gets you an entry. If those three people that you tag also retweets it, then you'll get another entry. And then you send us a DM showing us that you are a subscriber of our YouTube channel, then you'll get two more entries. And right now I think we have about 13 entries. So your odds are pretty good.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Your odds are about as likely as Minshew taking over for Luton soon. All right. Everyone, you know, you could find us on Twitter. The show is at Toilets2Title. So go check it out. Go give us a follow. Because again, every 50 followers, we are donating $10 to a charity of our choosing. At the end of the season, we are at $100 total. So that means we have hit the 50 total, 10 times, man. So we've gone up 500 followers since we started that. So that feels pretty good. You could follow me on Twitter at Coach Sheps. You could follow my co-host to my right, Justin at JustinFF_, and then the co-host down below me, Nate at Nate_Dirt19. Please, if you're listening, go to YouTube, subscribe, hit the like button. If you're watching on YouTube, download us on Apple Podcasts, 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Podbean, subscribe, like the episodes. All that stuff helps us more than you'd know. Nate, it's good to be on with you again, man. I feel like we haven't been able to link up over the past few weeks, man. So it's been good to see you, and it's been good to chat with you.
Yeah, it's been fun. Like I said, it's been kind of hit or miss. Last week should have been on, and work called. So, it's either work or baby, it seems like. But, I'm glad to be back, and everybody good luck this weekend, and have a safe Thanksgiving, and keep staying positive and testing negative.
Yes, sir. And Justin finished it, man, right in time. It only took him an hour and 6 minutes. Good work, my friend. Justin, as always, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to what the future has to hold for Toilets to Titles.
Absolutely, man. I'm really excited, and honestly, guys, I wouldn't be so hard pushing if it weren't for the two of you guys too, because I want to see this thing be a success, because I feel like all three of us really deserve it. So, so I'm working hard. We're pushing it out there. We're getting our name out, and I really need to stop talking because I've drank too much too fast. So I'm gonna go grab some bread to absorb this or something. But just keep loving each other. Love you guys. Have a good night.
Take care, everybody.